If you are inclined to follow along with the sermon notes, go ahead and take those out now. We'll be using those. We're going to be talking about what it means to be blessed, to be a blessing. So we start off with this Bible verse from 2 Corinthians. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So if we're talking about being a blessing, the kind of assumption is that we've been blessed. So I thought a good starting point would be to look at, here's a question, a rhetorical question I'm going to ask you to think about for a moment. Are you happy? Okay. So as you think about your level of happiness, the first thing that pops into mind is kind of, well, what criteria do we use for our happiness, right? So living in the United States, where we are very materially blessed, let's take a look at it from income. That's an interesting level. And there's been all sorts of studies that have been done looking at people at low levels of income, medium level, high level, very high, and asking the question, you know, where are you at now? Are you happy? And if you aren't, what would it take for you to be happy? So based on these studies, what they found is that there's a multiplication factor that is pretty much consistent. No matter where you are on the spectrum of earning, you know, it's pretty much the same number. And I'm going to give you a second. What do you think that number is? So as you look at your place in life as an adult and as your income level and what you have, and what would it take for you to be really, really happy? That's really kind of the question. So we have this multiplication factor times where you are equals happiness kind of thing. I like math equations. So that number is actually around 2. So no matter where you are in the spectrum, in the United States, the average answer, if I had twice as much income as I have now, then I'd be happy. I'd have everything I want. So what happens when you get an increase in pay? Well, that goes up as well. It doesn't stay. Well, I would be really happy from here. It moves to the next level. Well, now I'll be really happy if I make twice as much as I make now. So that's kind of an interesting way of looking at it. And another way would be, you know, if you have a car. So think of all the people in the world, in Europe and Africa and here and Canada and South America and Russia, all the people around the world. So what percent of people in the world have their own car? So think about that for a second. So it could be a used car, it could be a new car. You know, as long as it runs and provides transportation, that's what you're looking at. So what percent of the worldwide population has their own car, do you think? 9%. 9%. If you have a car, you're in the upper 91% of all the people in the world. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? We just living here in the United States, we are so blessed in so many ways that we don't even know all the ways that we're blessed, right? Until we need different things. If you don't need health care, then you don't realize what a variety of doctors and rehab and medicine and technology is available until you need it, right? So we are so blessed. So that's kind of the foundation that we are truly blessed in many different ways. Part one says we are truly blessed both here and now and for eternity. So we are blessed as we live in this physical life, but through our faith, we're blessed spiritually. So that's kind of the anchor point that we have. That's the hope that we live by. Now, as we look at that, part A says we're truly blessed because of our identity, right? So last week we had a reading from Romans 8. This week we have Romans 8 for our reading. And it's all about our identity. Last week we see the Spirit. He helps us in our weakness. We see that today as well. Through the Spirit and our faith, we are children of God, sons and daughters of God. We are heirs, H-E-I-R-S, of the kingdom, not E-R-R-S, right? We are heirs, inheritors of the kingdom. And because of that, because we're adopted children of God, we also have some responsibilities, right? That's how we live out our faith. So all of this is really important. So there are people in the world who aren't as blessed as we are, whether they're overseas or in Tijuana. Just a quick question. What is the mission of the folks that are from here and other places going to Tijuana? What are they doing? They're building dwellings, right? and I was reluctant to use the word houses. What is the dimension of the houses, the length by the width? What do you think? So you're thinking of a family is going to live in this house, and it's being built. What was your guess? 20 by 20. That's a really good guess. It's actually 12 by 12. So this family is going to move in, and they're going to be super happy because they don't have anything right now. So 12 by 12, it's approximately the width of this row by about four or five rows. That's their house. They have one window, they have one door, and they have a little bit of a loft area where the kids can sleep. So it's hard for us to really imagine that, right? I mean, you think about the homes we live in. Even our apartments are much bigger than that in terms of square feet. They have no plumbing, no electricity, and they are thrilled to have a house. Last year they went, and a family was going to be broken up because they didn't have a house. So they were going to take the kids away from the parents. So this is a big deal. You know, a lot of times we don't fully appreciate what's going on. But part of this is also our identity as children of God, right? So our ability is to use our gifts, our blessings, to share with other people so that they can kind of see God through us. So part B says we are truly blessed in the following key areas of our lives. And each area is a specific health that's really essential for us as a whole. So we have spiritual health, physical health, mental health, emotional, relational, financial, and vocational. So we have these different areas. And they all define who we are. And each of us is gifted differently. These are like tumblers in a lock, right? Each lock is different. They've got a different spring and different size, and the key is made for that. Each of us has different levels of gifts. But between all of us, we're truly gifted as a body of faith. So we can do things together that we can't necessarily do on our own. So that's a big blessing for us as well. So these seven areas are the areas that we'll study in Transformed. You might have seen the slide up there beginning August 27. We're going to go through Transform, the series. We did that at the previous church that I was at. It's a very positive experience. You get to grow in a lot of different ways and get help if there's any area that you need help with, both through other people or through different resources. So I would encourage you in that area as well. Part C says, the blessings we each receive are according to God's plan and support the purpose for which he created each of us. So each of us has a specific purpose, and God has made each of us uniquely. So again, as Paul describes a body of faith like a congregation, some of us are eyes. We have vision in terms of seeing what's coming or what needs to be done, what to prepare for now. Some of us are hands and feet doing different things, right? So we all have different functions, but together we make up a complete whole. So all of this is good. So this purpose is really important. And this is unique, too, again. So we can't stress enough that although we're very similar in many ways, as we look around the room, we're each quite different, especially in our gifts. Part 2 says, we're blessed to be a blessing today and eternally. So with the assumption that we're blessed, we're also given the responsibility of being a blessing. So a little bit about myself. When I was growing up, I was an only child. And I figure it's because of one of two reasons. One, I was such an exceptional child when I was growing up that they just said, we'll never be able to top this. And they just decided that one's enough. It's either that or I was so challenging that they said, oh my goodness, we're not having another one of these. And that was it. So somewhere in that spectrum is where I kind of resided. How many people are only children? I'm just curious. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. There's challenges and blessings, right? The challenge is that you're the only child. So guess who gets to do everything? You. There's nobody else, right? So you get the chores. The blessing is you don't necessarily have to share your stuff with brothers and sisters, right? So I didn't grow up with this natural tendency to share my stuff. I also grew up in a kind of lower middle class family. We had one bathroom and two bedrooms, a pretty small house, not as small as 12 by 12. But for us, it was just right at the time, right? So I didn't have a lot of stuff. So if you don't have a lot of stuff and you don't have anybody that you have to share it with, you kind of grow up with, hey, this stuff is my stuff and I'm going to keep my stuff, right? What is one of the biggest challenges in the United States right now? Storage for our stuff. Right, there's all sorts of companies where you can drive to a place and rent a locker or a garage kind of thing and put your stuff in it. Or if that's too inconvenient, they'll actually come to you, drop this big thing off in your driveway, and you can use it for a fallout shelter to store your stuff or whatever you like. It's very versatile, right? So we have so much stuff, we don't know what to do with it. It could turn into a George Carlin routine, right? Stuff. But we are truly blessed. So as we look at this, what is our model? We have Jesus' life, right? So we look at what he went through while he was on the earth. We look at what did he do? Who did he interact with? He was with the outcasts, right? People who had nothing. People that society didn't even recognize as existing. Can you imagine being we have the term non-person, right? So as you're in a group of people, mostly we see other people as non-persons unless we know them or we need them for something, right? You go to a store, it seems like you're a non-person until you flash a credit card or money kind of thing. Then all of a sudden you're important. So as we look at that, we see that Jesus had two big things going for him that we also have. He was very caring and he was very generous. And generosity is a big part of being a blessing, right? It's something that I have, not necessarily money. I'm not going to talk about money or stewardship. Just some blessing that I have that I can share with somebody else. Can be big, can be little. So we'll get a little more detail in a few moments. The other thing that differentiated Jesus was he was caring and generous even with his enemies, right? The Pharisees, the people that were trying to get rid of him, he knew this. And yet he was still polite to them. He would still try and help them to see the truth because they were living kind of in their own world. So he would reach out to people, even the ones that were enemies. So another thing as I was preparing this week that kind of came together in my mind, there are three things that are kind of catalysts that work together. So the first one is faith. So we have faith. We believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Again, the model of Jesus Christ is that he died on the cross, that no matter what I've done, his forgiveness is greater. And that's a blessing to me. So we have faith, we have our relationships or our connections, and then we also have blessing. So we have faith, that's why we're gathered here today. Because of that, we have a kind of relationship. We have this blessing that we bring to each other. As any of those areas grow, as I increase in my faith, I realize my blessing more and I am more generous with other people, whether it's my family, friends, people that I know or not. And because of that, the blessing increases and the relationship grows. Had a couple of things in the last week or so that were pretty dramatic for me. Again, going back to me being an only child. A couple weeks ago, we had a member came forward. His neighbor had lost pretty much everything, their retirement savings about 10 years ago when the economy collapsed, and they were in dire straits. They weren't able to have their own home, so they were renting a home, had all their stuff from the big home compressed into this little home, and then they just found out they have to move out of the little home, and they don't have any money. So, you know, kind of what are they to do? Well, the gentleman has a pretty good size kind of theological slash religion kind of book collection. He's got some antiques, he's got some new stuff, all sorts of different books. And he was looking for somebody that would kind of provide some money for that he might be able to work with, and then that person would donate to Faith or to Emmanuel or someplace like that. This was about 2 weeks ago. So I checked and saw his collection. It's very big. I've been trying to help him. And finally, we were able to work out something. There's a person that has come forward that will pay for the collection. The collection will come to Emmanuel, and that will be part of our book collection. And when I was telling him this on the phone, he was almost in tears. They literally have nothing. His wife is in ill health. He's been praying for some kind of assistance and had almost given up hope. And talking with him, he was just so thankful. He just kept saying it over and over again. You know, I can't believe this is happening. I'm just beyond words. He was speechless, right? So that's one thing. My family and I, when we eat out, we typically pray. We don't pray really loud, but we pray. And the other day, somebody noticed that we were praying, and they came over and said hello. The person had just lost his wife due to ill health and was just reaching out to us, saw that we prayed, you know, thought we loved each other, which we do, and just wanted to strike up a little conversation, which was great. So I met somebody I wouldn't have met otherwise by doing nothing. But it was a blessing for him just to see people pray. So there's little things that we can do. Blessed to be a blessing means being generous as we share the time, talent, treasure, and faith gifts that we've been blessed with, right? So we share these things as they're needed. The easiest thing is just to share concern for another person. So we'll look at that more specifically. But we've been blessed. God has given us our blessing so that we can use that to help other people and to help them see him through us. Part of it is, again, that we have been gifted. People are in need. And we just share some of what we have with them. Paul writes, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." So as we are generous with one another, as we're generous with other people, kind of all boats are raised by the tide in the harbor, right? So generosity goes up. As we share, people experience, and it kind of changes them a little bit. So the last part is, what does being a blessing look like? And I worked really hard to find keywords for the word action, because that's what really being a blessing is all about. So the first one is awareness. You know, we go through our life, we're busy, right? We've got one thing to do right after the other. I have to be at this point, I have to go there, I have to pick up the kids, I have to do this at the house, I have to do this for work. And we just move from place to place, and we move through crowds of people, and we don't even see the people around us, right? So that's kind of a challenge. So having an awareness that there are people in need around us, part of it is an appreciation for people, right? One of the problems in America besides storage is loneliness. We have people that are surrounded by people at work or at a store, something that are completely alone and feel completely isolated. Just noticing people in many cases is being a blessing to them. Just noticing them in a good way, complimenting them. With people we know, giving them a hug when a hug is the thing that they need. Doesn't have to be extravagant. C is for confidence that God will and has taken care of us, and will do so in the future. So we don't need to hoard. A lot of times we think we're saving in case something bad happens. But realizing that God will take care of our needs. Maybe not all our wants, but definitely the needs that we have. T is for teamwork. I don't have to do everything myself. I can invite others to help. So we have the mission trip, which is a group of people going somewhere to do much more than one person could do. We have things like the clinic, right? We have a bunch of people who work at the clinic and a lot more people that come in to be ministered to at the clinic. There's food, there's medical stuff, there's clothes, there's love, there's appreciation for them, right? Things that they wouldn't normally have. One of the keys is the I word, intentionality. It's too easy for us to drift. Our human nature is to just coast, right? I'm busy all the time. I just need a moment. Today it doesn't feel like, I think I'd rather sleep in today and not go to church. And then next week, well, that was pretty easy. They probably won't miss me this week. And then after that, it's like 2 or 3 months later, you realize, wow, I haven't been to church in a while. Right? It's just easy for us to do that. We drift away from good things. We don't typically drift towards good things. So we have to be intentional. Good example is our marriages, right? If you want to have a good, strong marriage, you have to be intentional about it. You can't just kind of let it happen because it won't. O is for obedience to God's command and the Spirit's prompting. It requires that we listen to the Spirit, that we listen to God's plan for us. How do we do that? We do that through prayer, through Bible study, through hearing God's word, through worship, through being with other people and supporting them, and being blessed by them and being a blessing to them. And the last one is N for now. Right? Because again, we like to put things off. Well, I'll do that tomorrow or next week or whenever it might be. So delayed action many times is inaction. So there's a couple ways you can look at faith in action or faith in action, right? So inaction means we're not actually exercising or living our faith. So it's all in our perception. Jesus said that in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And part of that is the part B, which is our being a blessing helps others. So that's one thing that happens. Others in need and brings praise and glory to God our Father. So that's the second. And then typically as we're a blessing to other people, we're blessed by the experience. So it's kind of like a spiritual hat trick, right? So you've helped somebody else, you've brought praise and glory to God, and you've been blessed yourself. So what are some specific ways we can do that? Again, just being aware of needs in other people and looking out and just thinking as we get up in the morning, today I want to help someone. I'm going to look for somebody that needs help and be a blessing. So this awareness and just doing the appropriate thing to help somebody in need. It could be big, could be little. It could be intentional. Sometimes it's unintentional, like our prayer. So as we go through all of this, we see that this is God's plan for our lives, right? That we have families to bless each other, to be blessed by. We have friends, we have coworkers, fellow believers, and people we don't even know. And they're all part of God's world, and so are we. And God has put us here for a purpose, you know, to be a light, that we are His hands and feet, that we reflect His light to people who are living in darkness and ignorance of Him. So let's close with prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings that You give us. We ask that You would increase our awareness of those blessings, that You would increase our awareness of people in need. Lord, we ask that You would give us a boldness to be loving, to be caring, to be generous with others, to help them when they need help and help them before they need help. Lord, we know that through Your word, You've promised the help of the Holy Spirit. We saw that in our reading today and last week. Help us to listen to the guiding and prompting of the Holy Spirit. Help us to grow in our understanding of Your love for us so that we can fully express that love to all others in our life. Lord, all this we pray in Your most holy name and to the glory of You. Amen.